Phoenix Fridas. Visit our website at radioproject.org for more information about Frida or En Confianza with Pulso Podcast. I'm Anita Johnson. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.
The month of June is Pride Month, an opportunity to shine a light on the vast heritage of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer and questioning, intersex, asexual or agender, as well as two-spirit community members. Here at KBOO, we will be celebrating LGBTQIA2S+ heritage on Tuesdays 7 to 8 p.m. with live panels from our studios, where we will have guests from these communities talk to us about their culture, presence, struggles and relevance. Tune in to KBOO every Tuesday throughout the month of June and into July, 7 to 8 p.m. and join us in celebrating LGBTQIA2S+ heritage with our special Pride Month live panels. Tonight, we will start with our trans panel, 7 to 8 p.m., live from our studios, only on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held. Support for Trans Positive comes from KBOO members and RelationshipGardening.com. Specializing in support and repair for couples. Virtual for Oregon and California. Information at couplescoach@gmail.com.
There's something missing and I'm lit and I got something to say. Oh yeah. All of the witches and the demons better get out my way. Try.
Good evening. You're listening to Trans Positive here on KBOO Community Radio. Today we're talking with Cindy Berry and Jeannie Jonas. Cindy and Jeannie, welcome to Trans Positive.
Thanks, Emma. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Why don't we start by first having you introduce yourselves and tell us a little about yourselves, and then we'll talk about Northwest Gender Alliance and Pride Month.
I'm Cindy Berry. I'm the current president of Northwest Gender Alliance. We're a gender diverse support organization that's been running for many years. We're the oldest organization west of the Mississippi. Our history goes back to 1980. And this is a passion for me, helping those in the trans community. Primarily under the, I consider all those under the trans umbrella, which gender diversity is another way of saying that, but that's inclusive of binary ends of transness, male, trans female, non-binary, any expression in between those really fits under the umbrella. And we're always looking for ways to bring people together. I've enjoyed being part of NWGA for a number of years now, and in the role of president is a new role for me. And also, I'd like Jeannie to introduce herself. She's my vice president and a strong inspiration for the organization.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeannie. And like Cindy says, you know, I'm vice president as well for Northwest Gender Alliance. And guess what? I'm a trans woman. And one of the things that I try to do with our group is I do a lot of public outreach and a lot of education, helping to educate the public on what it means to be trans and what people who are trans have to go through, and just basic interacting with the public, so that way we can try to break down some of those negative stereotypes that are out there.
Great, thank you. Thanks, both of you. So let's start by first of all talking about what's going on in June with the Northwest Gender Alliance. Cindy, would you like to start by telling us what's going on with the Northwest Gender Alliance this month?
Yeah, one of the things that we're enjoying being part of is the notion of the Summer of Pride, and having events other than just the big waterfront festival in July. So for us, on the 8th of June, we're having a trans game social, and we've taglined it "Uniting Communities Over Tables." The idea is to bring those people who are gamers, tabletop gamers, who are curious about it, come out, come play in the afternoon on Saturday with us. We also will have areas for conversation. So if you just wanna, if you're a friend and you're coming along, you know, we invite the whole queer community to come and be part of this. We are especially asking our transgender folks to come on out, meet some other people, have some fun. We have representatives from a number of gaming stores in the area who will be helping teach games. We have food that will be supplied by Northwest Natural, so actual tasty finger food, and non-alcoholic beverages, and we've got games to give away. We're looking forward to just having fun. This is an outgrowth, if you will, of our Thursday night gaming activities that we have been having on a regular basis at a couple different venues, and it's fun to learn how to play a new game with people who know how to play. It helps stimulate thinking. It's a fun, interactive way. We're all learning new stuff, so you know, nobody is nobody's feeling left out because we have people there that can help teach. And if you are an expert in gaming, we'd love to have you there and bring your favorite game. We'll have six or more tables available for tabletop gaming. If you're into cosplay, we'd love to see you in your cosplay outfit. A lot of gamers are, and one of the fun facts I learned is a lot of tabletop gaming, a lot of those games are developed by people in the queer community. And I think that's really kind of fun because it means the people we care about are the ones creating a lot of this and a lot of the artwork, and it's just so much fun. So that's the big thing we have going on in June that's special. And I'd really like people to come out and just have fun. I mean, if you just want to get a taste of it, we have beginner games. If you are heavy into gaming, many more complex games. So that's the fun activity to kind of kick off this month. And there'll be a number of different activities related to Pride Northwest, the organization that puts on the big waterfront festival. So that's the excitement I have.
So I'm not a gamer. I don't know anything about it. Like, to me, a game is like tic-tac-toe or maybe checkers. So what kind of games are we talking about?
We have a number of, there's kind of two different styles, games that are, there's the traditional games that have been out through history, like you've just described. There's games that are popular with senior crowd, like Mexican Dominoes, it's called, or Mexican Train Dominoes. And then more complex games like Suro, which is a game of creating a path and trying to maneuver around these paths you lay down to stay on the board longer than anyone else. It's a game with simple rules, and it plays quickly. We have we've played games which are more cooperative. Jeannie had a game that we played that was called Trans American. It has nothing to do with transgender. It's Trans American train track building, if you will. But it's a cooperative game that's, well, it's a cooperative and competitive at the same time, where you, the strategy is you need to connect rail track to every city, you know, on the playing board that you've been assigned. And if somebody has tracks that can help you, build to those and go on. A lot of the games are kind of a turn-based. What move would you like to make? How do you accumulate points? The more complex games become role-playing games, where your character has an assigned role that you play while trying to accumulate points. So games go from simplistic and straightforward to really complex in terms of each player may be playing a different role. There was a game we just learned called Root, R-O-O-T, in which every player has a different strategy they're working towards, how they get points. And so you can't, it's not this, like, everybody does the same thing. Everybody's doing a different thing on the same board trying to achieve different goals. So it goes from some traditional games that you may have played with a family or friends to Dungeons and Dragons level complexity. And so it's a wide range of things. One of the folks who's been helping us in specific will be there, and they are a game mistress, if you will. They love games and variety. So they've been introducing us to different kinds of games and learning how to play. And it's challenging to learn a new game. We've also played some social games. One's called VINs, like Venn diagram, VINs with benefits, where a subject, and then there'll be two subjects, and you try to come up with what description would intersect those two subjects. Other ones we've done in the past were Tell Me a Story, which was developed by some queer folks, and they were at the last year's Waterfront Festival, where you're given a topic and you have to tell a story from your past. It's a game of learning about each other. So it's not limited to these traditional games. And it's, some people might feel it's intimidating, but when you have someone who really knows the game and can help you start and play, it really kind of lifts all boats and you can just kind of have fun with it. Jeannie has quite a collection of games. You can also describe some of these.
Jeannie, would you like to talk about your experience with Game Night?
Sure. So I've been gaming since a kid. And, you know, it can be something as simple as playing some gin rummy with a deck of cards, or something as complex as games that take you hours and hours and hours to play through an entire round. And, you know, there's games out there for every type of person and every type of personality and different things that people are interested in. And one of the nice things about the game day that we're going to be having here is that we've got a couple of different local gaming stores that sell games and sponsor game nights and stuff coming out and sponsoring different tables and helping people learn how to play different types of games. And of course, everybody's welcome to bring whatever their favorite game is and bring it out and see if you can convince a couple of people that you may never met before and make some new friends and sit down and teach them your favorite game.
Is there a game that's really popular? I mean, that people are just really, that's like the thing to do right now, like Dungeons and Dragons or something?
One that we were playing at a gaming place in Aloha in Marshington County was called Thirsty Sword Lesbians. It's a role-playing game, and it was so popular that you had to show up early if you wanted to get a spot at the table. And it's a role-play type game, and with various lusty lines that you have to say, and you can kiss, kill, or take with, or something along those lines. But
I see.
So I mean, there are, we find groups of people who really go on, kind of hook together on a bigger game, and I mean the giant games are like these Warhammer games where they'll spread across two tables with and very complex stuff. Most of the folks that we've been playing with kind of like the smaller games that are that 2 to 8 players or 2 to 6 players. On game nights, we haven't played just one kind of game because we're doing this for other people too, is helping them learn it. So it's not like a Dungeons and Dragons thing, but there'll be people doing something like that, or Magic the Gathering, which is immensely popular card-based dungeon-type game. I personally find that one a little complex, but there are a lot of folks younger than myself who are enamored with this. And so I think there will be something for every skill level and every interest. And I really do enjoy being with somebody who is enthusiastic about their favorite game and would love us to learn about it and learn the strategy, how to play it well. So it's not a one thing for everybody. And the other important thing is we'll have tables which are just for social mixing. Just have a conversation with somebody or play a small game, a two-player game. You know, it's about, for me, it's about building community, meeting, being out in the real world with people that you care about and care about you, right? Because to me, I feel most alive when I'm with people in the community, whether they be queer people or trans people. I, of course, being a trans woman myself, have the strongest connection with trans people, and I find it joyful that there are more trans men coming out every day and being part of the world. And I derive a lot of joy when people just get together and learn about each other and find common interests. I mean, like, that's how we did it when we were kids, and and I'm still a kid in many ways because I love doing this stuff.
Yeah. So do people make, is this a good place to make new friends?
Absolutely. Finding out that you enjoy gameplay with learning about games or a particular gameplay with the people, and you have some commonality. I mean, a lot of folks that play online games, there are tabletop versions of online of certain online games, and so they have already know a lot about it. They just haven't done it with other people, and then you get that social dynamic going. And some of these games, you negotiate. I mean, a game that a lot of people have played, like Monopoly. We don't see that played much, but that kind of game, it is the style where sometimes you negotiate things. And so the dynamics become really interactive, not just my turn, your turn, but, oh, I want to be your strategic partner. This game Root, there are certain characters that people play who befriend you, and then they can help you. And so it creates a dynamic that's more interesting than a lot of other games have played. And then the traditional card-based games often allow you to do social interaction in terms of getting to know people. Some of the games are, you know, like are humor-based, right? There's Puns of Anarchy was one that where you're trying to make puns out of the cards you're given. And it's a blatant title ripoff of other games, but it doesn't have the social context that some of those other games have. But it's like it brings your creativeness out to the table, and your sense of humor too. So I mean, there's everything you can think of. But what I noticed about gamers, they like to play games and they like teaching people their favorite game. And so to be welcomed into learn a game that you've never played, that's kind of fun because somebody there has enthusiasm and wants you to have a good time in the game. And there's no expectations. Nobody expects you to be an expert. And certainly tabletop gaming, I kind of quit doing that a long time ago because of just the circumstance. And I'm finding it really kind of fun because I'm doing things that I haven't done with other people who are just enthusiastic. And it's like, that really raises my spirits. And so, you know, for people who just want to watch, they can. If they want to get something going, we'll always have somebody around that can start a game and help them learn. And the enthusiasm I find with these gamers, they're all ages. And, a lot of the younger folks, which I don't get as much chance to interact with, this is joyful. I mean, it's truly fun to see people coming out of their quietness, if you will, and sharing this joy with other people.
Now, is there anything about gaming and being queer or trans or non-binary? Is there some connection, or is this something that trans, non-binary, queer people are more into, or is it just a thing?
Jeannie, what's your thought?
Well, I think a lot of people in the trans community, as well as people who are queer, just in general part of the larger LGBTQIA2S+ community, a lot of us, you know, growing up, we were ostracized, you know, we were generally not the people out on the sports teams and doing, you know, stuff out there. And so a lot of us found our community in games and, you know, we find a lot of folks out there that may not be necessarily comfortable doing other sorts of activities and stuff, and they like being able to come to a place where they can be themselves, where they can be open about who they are, and just have a great fun time.
one of the things I found when, like, back in the 80s when I played the original Dungeons & Dragons, which is Dungeons & Dragons is now in its, like, fifth revision and going strong, the ability to be able to craft a character who had abilities or skills different than my own personal, I found to be a way of exploring, you know, doing things that I couldn't possibly have done in the real world. And so it gave me a chance to play with aspects of life that I couldn't do. And certainly early on, when I was kind of in the closet about the whole thing, I got to play female characters that I didn't feel comfortable with around other people. But in the game scenario, that was fine. But then to be a rogue who, with a chaotic good background, who has a certain freedom of choice within their, if you will, their life standards, and you can experiment with things you never could in these more complex role playing games. But I also like the social games. It's sharing fun, sharing a good time with other people is just a good thing. It's a thing I didn't always get to do when I was young, and I know other folks in the trans community and the queer community both that feel like they don't get to go out and be with other people. And this is the great thing, because you don't have to do something. You can just come out, enjoy some food, enjoy some people, win a free game that you can then have for yourself and learn. So these are the kind of things that I just see smiles a lot, and I like it.
Oh, great. Did you say free food?
Free food. In other words, the Northwest Natural has partnered with us. They're donating the venue, and their catering group is doing the food. So it's real food. It's not just stuff we ran to Costco to grab. Real finger food, and it's part of, you get a ticket. We, you know, it's a real working building, right? But so you need a ticket to get in. But the tickets, you don't have to pay any money for it. If you'd like to, there's an option to donate, but the ticket itself is free. And we encourage people to bring their friends, their allies, right? I mean, the younger folks have so many, a group of friends may have people from all across the queer spectrum. And great, bring your friends. Bring people who would love to come meet other trans people who want to just play games. Just come out, have fun, be respectful. And, you know, our goal as an organization is getting people to come out and be part of the community. And so, yeah, with food, non-alcoholic beverages, it's family friendly. We have tickets available for those with student ID from age 14 up, and of course for an adult, of course. And in general, all of our events are family friendly. We don't want to exclude younger people, or we know parents whose children are trans, or the parents are trans or queer and their children are cis. I mean, we're not biased against people. We don't judge. And I don't want people to feel inhibited. You know, come out, have fun. That's really, and be nice. And
great, you know. Great, Cindy. Why don't you share the details again?
Okay, so Saturday, June 8th, it starts at 2 p.m. On the NWJ website, which is nwgenderalliance.org, in the activities or events or on the calendar, you'll find an event, and there'll be a link to get to the tickets online and select your tickets. And it's down at 250 Southwest Taylor, which is near 3rd and Taylor, and public transportation can get you there. There's parking in the area. Being a Saturday afternoon, a lot of the traditional businesses are not open, so there's more street parking as well. And that is the same day as the Rose Festival is going on, but the Rose Festival is kind of a much farther north from us. So if you want to come play games in the afternoon with us on the 8th, you could then go to the Rose City Festival out at the waterfront afterwards if you wanted, or other Portland nightlife activity.
So that's over on the downtown side. That's not over in the warehouse district.
Yes, it's in the downtown side.
Oh, great.
And the facility itself is pretty amazing. The room has mostly windows to the outside, and then there's a glass divider to where the food will be. And so it feels much more open. It's a nice space, but it feels open. It doesn't feel like you're in somebody's back room at a game store or something, right? You can actually see daylight out there, and it's a safe place, which is an important part for what we want. I want some folks in the trans community and the queer community, both when they're out and displaying their full color, their cosplay or whatever, they're a little concerned. Well, this is why we have tickets. That's why you check in when you come in. We want people to feel safe, and we want it to be an open, friendly atmosphere.
Great, thanks. So we were talking at the very beginning of the show, and you mentioned that this month is Pride Month, but the Pride Festival isn't happening in June like it has for most of the last 40 years or so. It's happening in July. Yeah. So why did it move?
So for a number of years now, the organizers, that's Pride Northwest, has wanted to move the festival, the Waterfront Festival, into July to, one, avoid the rain and mud, which we've had a few years. And also, it's right on top of Juneteenth and right on top of Native American celebrations. And so share the space. And it's also Father's Day, which for some people, that was a great time to have it, but sometimes that keeps people from coming out and enjoying it. The big advantage, too, is there's a lot more space available, and there's a desire to have more community space at the Waterfront Festival and not just all vendors. And one of the interesting things for us is we'll have a table booth there, a 10x10, but right next to that, we'll have a 10x10 space with seating. We'll have some water available, and it's a conversation place. So if someone's at the Waterfront Festival and wants to come in, you know, and be with the trans folks and cool off and just talk or rest their feet with people they know, or they want to talk to Jeannie or I or any of the other NWJ folks there, we get to have our own conversation space right next to our booth space. We accidentally achieved that last year when some corporation failed to show up, but we didn't have the seating. So this year we'll have some seating space and some water. And, you know, part of the joy of, for me, and I believe this is for everybody who helps out at the tables, is we get to meet new people. We get to answer questions, people who are curious, they're trying to understand. And we don't, as a community, we don't have a common place to communicate. Some are on Facebook, some are on Discord, some are on TikTok, some are on Instagram. And so it's sometimes difficult to get the word out, but at one of these Pride festivals, people come and they want to talk. And that can be challenging when there's a lot of people, but having this social space next to us means come in, have a seat, and we'll circulate through that, and there'll be other people, attendees there that can talk with you. And I would love to help every person who has a question. I would love to answer it and have them feel comfortable. And so for us, it's kind of exciting. With more space, we also were able to have more space. This is part of that community. It's just, it can be challenging to have a conversation when somebody really has a need. And I find that the piece I missed when I was going through trying to figure out things is there was no information. And I think all of us are in the nature of, we would love you to have the information that helps you make choices about what your path is and how to be comfortable and where to find resources. So it moved to July. It has a lot more space. It has more community vendors, more community space. And I think it's a big win. It's a shock for traditionalists, right? Because it moved. But with this Summer of Pride notion, there'll be a number of different small events all through June. So go to one of the other, there's Pride events all over. Go to one of those and pick up on that joy and the performances there. And then the big, you know, in a smaller venue like Hillsboro or Beaverton or Tigard, or out at the coast, Astoria, Newport, there's Pride events out there that we won't be at, but they have fun. And it's kind of it's a way to go and get that positive energy. So I kind of like the idea that we've got the whole Summer of Pride. And for us, that means tabling all the way out through the end of August and sometimes into the start of September. So Pride is not a single event, even though the big event is in July at Waterfront Park. I encourage people to take advantage of all the other smaller venues. Go have some fun. Meet other people. See how that town does their Pride and support them. I would love to see every town have a Pride event of some kind and not just be Portland is the only place to have it, because it's a wonderful thing and we have the biggest. But let's have fun everywhere.
Yeah, going out into the suburbs and the small towns all around Oregon, that's a great idea.
I get a lot of young people. I mean, what I find is there's more young people, parents bringing their kids out to the smaller ones in the suburbs. And in Vancouver, Esther Shore Park, there's a couple of different events we go to there. A young lady had her child in her arms, kindergarten kind of thing, first grade maybe. But she goes, my child is saying they're transgender. What does this mean for them? And how do I help them? And how do I protect them? And she just looked like she was just lost. And we talked for quite a bit and got her pointed to some resources. And to me, it's heartening when a parent says, I want to support my child. I just need some answers. I need some pointers. I need some help. And I find the tabling experience from the backs behind the table to be pretty darn fulfilling in terms of making a difference to people. It's just one life at a time, but it makes a difference. So I encourage those that want to help the community to consider volunteering at various organizations, including ours, to help us with that stuff and help bring this information. I mean, sometimes just giving somebody a button that says, he, she, they, with a trans flag background, that button says, that's how they feel. That's how they identify. I'm glad I've got that button I can give to them, right? These are the kind of things that a number of folks, I think, miss out when they don't take this opportunity. Jeannie, talk a little bit about this.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've experienced, you know, booting some of these tables, especially like Waterfront, where we get, you know, thousands of people coming by, and it's not always the easiest to talk. So what Cindy's talking about is some of the smaller ones, like we just had Hillsboro Pride, and it's a more intimate setting. So you can have some of these more interesting, in-depth conversations with people when they come by. And, you know, like I remember last year we had a family where it was the grandparents and the parents and the siblings and their child was trans. And they, for all intents and purposes, were refugees from another state because they were fleeing the state that they had lived in because of the way the laws had changed. And the entire family picked up and moved to Portland in order to support the one child. And they're coming to us and saying, hey, you know, what services are available in this area? What should we know? What's out there? And for me, that's one of those really wonderful experiences of being able to interact when people are coming to you and share those resources, share that information. But also, you know, a lot of people out there have never had an opportunity to talk with somebody who's transgender. They don't know what that's like. And there's so many negative stereotypes and misinformation that's floating around out there. So being able to be present and have those conversations and shed some light onto what it means to be trans and what we can do to support people and what various things are in our greater Portland metro area for people to do and participate in, like some of the game nights that we do or some of the outings that we do, such as going out for dinners or other things. Having those opportunities and being able to share that with folks is really a wonderful opportunity that we get, and it helps build our own community here within our area.
I've heard that as many as 100,000 families have been forced to relocate in the last year because of the drastic changes in the laws of about 18 or 20 states regarding what kind of gender-affirming care transgender kids are able to receive and what kind of things they're able to say and experience when they're in school. Have you been experiencing any of these stories? And what are your thoughts about that? That seems like something very significant that's happening to our community right now.
Yeah, and I don't have any actual numbers of that per se, but in the work that I do and everything, I've definitely seen an uptick in the number of people who are new to the area, who are moving here. You know, if you go online and you start talking to people in the various trans communities that are online, every day you're talking to somebody new that's out there that's moving into our local area from someplace else within the country. And on the one hand, they're coming here because Oregon, especially the metro area, is fairly open-minded, and you know, we can be a safe place for people to move to and live. But more than that, you know, we have some amazing opportunities when it comes to the medical profession and what we have to offer here for folks who are trans, between places like OHSU and Kaiser and some of the other facilities that are around town, that people who are trans who are being limited in terms of what their medicine is that they can get, or limited into what they're allowed to do with their lives. And they look around and go, where can we move to? Where can we escape to? And they see Portland as a place that is a safe refuge for them. And, you know, that's one of the things we get to do is when we're interacting with folks at the various Pride events throughout the summer months, is getting to be able to have those conversations and help point the people that are coming in who are nude and say, hey, here's some of the wonderful stuff we have to offer around here. And, you know, you have those conversations and you just see people's faces light up and having that relief that, hey, maybe I've made that right decision to come here to Oregon and I found my people. Those are just wonderful experiences.
Wow, that's great. Jeannie and Cindy, tell me about the recent Hillsboro Pride event. How was that?
The traditional, has a different feel than the waterfront. It has entertainment, a stage. It has various vendors. It has a lot of support from the city itself. I mean, this really feels like the community is there, right? Not just our community, but the town, the community. We've had some of the most seemingly innocuous, but turns out to be impactful conversations. And we get a lot of parents and grandparents trying to understand how to be more supportive. Where waterfront, it's a lot of people who are trying to come out and trying to understand that. But I find that at Hillsboro, especially, was the place I noticed it, one of the strongest places where I want to be more supportive of my grandchild. I want to be more supportive of my friends in school. And it feels like at an individual level, people really want us there. I mean, Hillsboro is one of the places that really wants us as an organization to be there. And it's nice to be appreciated. It's also nice to be able to help. And it's a different atmosphere. It's more cozy, more homey, if you will. And the crowds are not as thick and dense. It's not like you're in a sea of people. So you actually feel like you have time to stop and talk. And there's a number of little restaurants around also, as well as food trucks. So you can, it's kind of a, oh, let's go. And it's right at the MAC station. So any place from a MAC station, you can get there real easy. So it's just this homey feel that I just really enjoy, the friendliness, if you will, and the calmness.
What strikes me every year about going into the Hillsboro Pride is that it's such a family-friendly event, and you see people of all ages there. And that's not to say that the other ones aren't. It's just Hillsboro has much more of that feel to it.
Great. What else are you doing this summer? Where else are you going? Can you tell me a little bit about your summer plans?
Yeah. We have we're going to be at Beaverton Pride this year. We're going to go. We'll be at in Vancouver. We'll be at the Vancouver Pride in the Park. We'll be at the Peace and Justice Festival. That's been a tradition for us. It's more of a community support event than a particular Pride event. But we get good play there in terms of people asking questions. We'll be up again this later in the year. We'll be up at the Ridgefield Multicultural Festival. Ridgefield seems like it's a little farther out, but it's one of the fastest growing areas in Washington. And every year they specifically say, will you please come up and be here for us? Because there's no other organization. And Ridgefield has kind of the distinction of more folks from the local schools, both students and instructors, are looking for information on how to make their school more inviting, more friendly, more respectful. And so each Pride event has kind of a different flavor, interestingly enough. And then we take opportunities that like last year, in Tiger, they won, or Tualatin, in the Tiger area, that one popped up at kind of the last minute. And so we did that one. It was at a high school, but those are the big ones we'll be going to. And if something new and different pops up that we can accommodate, we try. One of the things we look for is people who want to join our organization and would like to table it more. I mean, like, for example, the day after Hillsboro was Lake Oswego, but just don't have enough folks to hit everything at once. And I would, as I've said, I would like a Pride of, see a Pride Event everywhere. And it, and as folks feel the interest in helping like we help, we would expand to more.
I know down here in Oregon City where I live, they're going to be putting on another Oregon City Pride event. So you might look into that.
Oh, I'd love to. The last year there was some
in September
of did it get canceled? Did it not? And no, I mean that's yet another Pride event that we haven't traditionally been at. But if we have the resources and it fits with the other ones we've already scheduled for, we'd love to.
Well, last year it was going to be in June, but it was getting protested by the Proud Boys, and there were threats made on the organizers, and so they moved it to September, and they moved it to up to Clackamas Community College, where they had security. So that event went off great. I think there were like 1,000 people at the event. There was lots of drag queens, lots of community organizations. And I think they're going to do it again in September this year. That's the last I heard about it.
Well, we'll keep our eye on that. I mean, in years past, even in recent, we get invited to places out like Newport. But sometimes the logistics of tabling out there, it's not quite the same as being able to pack up and go in the morning and come home in the evening. I'm not as spry as wanting to make a Newport trip in one day.
I can do it, but it's a haul for sure.
Or in like Astoria's Pride is, I think, a multi-day event.
Oh, Astoria's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm encouraged when that happens because it helps people feel like they're part of the community. I mean, that's one of the messages that these these smaller Pride events, it really brings out the community would like you to be here, right? It's not we're going to prove we can be there, which Pride started out years ago kind of being, we'll show you, we're going to stand up here and be counted. And now it's the community says, we want to show our support. I mean, the world has changed radically in a great way. Canby's got some kind of a event planned this year.
Canby, wow.
I'm not sure where their plans have landed, but I mean, places you might not expect it are starting to pop up. I mean, and there's stuff in Eastern Oregon. I'm trying to remember Klamath area, I think. That's the other thing is communications within the community sometimes becomes very regional. I try to keep track, at least by Facebook groups, from other areas, just to keep tabs on what's happened in other areas. I know that the Salem Kaiser area has got to have something this year. And
I can't wait for Burns to. As soon as Burns does it, I'll be like, we've made it. We've made it. I'll go to that one. I'll do the 5-hour drive for that.
I mean, at some point in my future, it might be fun to try to see how many, you know, if I have a travel trailer or something, or borrow somebody's motorhome, and how many Pride events can we go to in the course of a summer, right? Would be a fun trip, right? Just like people used to say, oh, I visited all these states. Well, we can't do that so much anymore, but how many Pride events could we go to?
Well, speaking of Pride, we're getting near the end of the show, so I'd just like you to remind us again of why we started the show today, and that's telling us about your Pride event that's happening in June.
So, Trans Game Social, uniting communities over tables. I love my community. I love my queer friends. I love my cis friends who are allies. And come out, have fun on the 8th of June in the afternoon. Go to our website, nwgenderalliance.org, and look into the calendar or look onto the events tab and find the Trans Game Social event and get tickets. Tickets don't cost anything. And, you know, we want you to be there. We want you to bring a friend, have a good time, enjoy some food, enjoy some conversation. And this is our way of kicking off the summer pride season. And also keep your eyes open for other one day or one afternoon events or one evening events all happening throughout the Portland metro area. And then of course, come join us at the Big Waterfront Festival in July. But let's not let June be empty. Let's have fun. Let's come out and be with your community.
So we've been talking tonight with Cindy Berry and Jeannie Jonas from the Northwest Gender Alliance. Jeannie, can you tell us one more time how to get in touch with the Northwest Gender Alliance?
Yeah, the best way is just go on to nwgenderalliance.org and you can find out what we're up to on any given night, what resources are. You can go to the contact tab and send us an email. Or if you're old school, we actually have a P.O. box that you can send stuff to.
Great, thanks. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Transpositive. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we go?
I'll say this, that, you know, doesn't matter where you are, take a look around. There's probably a Pride event coming up this summer somewhere within a short distance of you, whether you're down in Salem, Coos Bay, Eugene, wherever you are. See if there's something nearby. And come out, even if you're just an ally, and show some support.
Great, thank you. Well, Jeannie, Cindy, Cindy, do you have a last word?
I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity. We always enjoy conversing with you and supporting KVU. You're the voice of our community, and we thank you.
KVU is a great resource. It's such a great community asset. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Transpositive, and we'll see you at Pride.
Yeah, hope to see you at the games.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Transgender people don't live here.
I've never met anyone who's transgender.
I swear I don't know someone who's transgender.
Transgender and non-binary people like me hear this all the time.
But according to the HRC Foundation, there are more than 2 million transgender people in the United States.
We live in every community across this country.
You might be surprised to hear that there are more transgender and non-binary people in the United States than there are
Starbucks, McDonald's, and Walmart locations combined.
In fact, if you put us all together,
there'd be more non-binary and transgender folks than the populations of DC,
or Nebraska,
or Maine,
or Idaho,
or West Virginia.
As a matter of fact, 15 states have a lower population than the amount of trans folks in the US.
So here are a few things to keep in mind.
You don't always know when a person is trans.
But we're your neighbors,
your coworkers,
your students,
your customers,
and even your friends and family.
We exist in every culture, todas las culturas, throughout human history.
And while we're more visible than ever before,
sometimes you just don't see us.
So when you hear about politicians pushing for discriminatory bills,
know this. These bills address problems that aren't even real.
Problems that don't actually exist.
But we do.
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 And we need your support.
Hi, this is Emma. I am a co-host of Transpositive, and I'm also the current president of the board of directors here at KABU. At KABU, we prove every day that people-powered radio has the ability to bring us together across distances and give us hope when we feel despair. Your friends at KABU want to remind you that generosity has the same power. Join thousands of KABU supporters from all around the world. And let's rally together.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.